Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here. Hopefully you're not frozen like a popsicle most places here in the United States. Stay warm. Nothing better than some Disney talk to warm you up. And we've got your listener questions, including a great question from Robin asking about swimming at Stormalong Bay on checkout day. Is that cool? Can they still get in the pool? Who wants to talk about swimming today? But we're going to do that. These questions and much more coming right up. First, a quick word from our sponsors. And that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, we're down to 21 days to go until my Princess Half Marathon weekend trip. Man, I am telling you, with the wind chills 20 to 30 below zero in St. Louis, Florida sounds great right about now. I'm getting excited every time I get a text message, place a phone call, or post to social media. Great pictures, graphics, you've picked the font, you picked the message. It's really awesome. You can even get audio alerts. So check it out today. Great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. Anytime you do some online shopping, I bought some gloves on Amazon today and I used our Amazon affiliate link over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You're getting all your Prime benefits and it really does help support the show. So bookmark it on all your devices. Thanks again. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1440 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. And like I said at the top of the show in the ad read, man, keep everything covered up here. It's going to be cold this week in most parts of the United States. I know Atlanta is shut down. We'll talk to Ricky about that because they might get a dusting of snow, but that's guess the tacos in the south. Man, it is going to be super cold here in the Midwest. But you know what? No better way to warm up than for some fun Disney talk and just pretend like it. Actually, the best way is to plan a trip. But the second best way is to listen to the show and pretend like you're down at Walt Disney World. And that's what we're going to do here for the next 30 to 35 minutes. So joining me from the deep south, the frozen deep south, Atlanta, Georgia, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Ricky, our thoughts and prayers are with your town. I hope
Thank
you pull
you.
Through.
We need all thoughts and prayers because, you know, as y'all know, the Super Bowl is happening in the great city of Atlanta. Oh. So we're like sitting here going, oh no, snow. We knew that snow was going to happen the week of the Super Bowl. Like we knew it. And we're just like, yep, that's pretty much what happened. So, but this, you know, I learned something this week. Was that, you know, the last time we had one of these snow apocalypse things, we did not have any brine at all. And that was in 2014. And that was when everybody made fun of us for like, you know, it looked like the literal Walking Dead. Now we have brine, which I, as someone from Missouri, it floors my mind that the city of Atlanta didn't have like anything to put on the streets until 2015.
Wait,
you know,
wait,
I'm just what, like, what?
Wait, what does your husband have to do with any of this? You don't have any brine?
Yeah, we didn't have any Brian.
I mean, is he like a one-man car? No, he's like really fast and like runs long distances. Does he like run every interstate in Atlanta and like drop stuff?
And he sweeps it up. He's got like a little broom and he just runs waves back and forth.
Ding! There you go. Dad joke for the day. Met the quota.
Yeah, thanks.
All right,
Mike.
So yeah, we're thinking, you know what? It's because Stan Kroenke's team's in the Super Bowl. So I hope God.
Exactly.
Hope God.
And the Patriots.
God needs to rain just like all the plagues down in Atlanta for the next week. My dad's
exactly.
Down there, but he'll make it.
You guys can take your teams back. I don't want them. So,
still trying to figure out what I'm going to do on Sunday night because I'm not watching the Super Bowl.
I literally don't know. Brian's got to work, you know, because the Super Bowl is here. So, and he works at a hotel. So he has to work, which is super fun for me.
Yeah,
I'm just going to be bored.
My dad's down there and having a good time. So good for him, bad for me. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester, where I'm sure it's going to be a balmy temperature this week. I don't know.
It's going to be a
balm.
It's been a long day. You know, hey. So, yeah, hang in there, Pam. We know it's cold in Pittsburgh. How's it going?
It's cold. It's like there's negatives in front of the little numbers now. I'm like, is that a negative? That's really a negative. Okay. And that's without the wind chill. So anyways, yeah, I'm hibernating. I've looked very hard at traveling to Florida, but last week didn't look so good there.
No, it did not. And we will get to that on Friday. Yeah.
So at least at home, I can like turn on the fireplace, you know, lay on the couch, have like a blanket, watch movies. Steve and I don't watch a ton of movies, but last weekend we seemed to do a lot of that. So anyways, you know, whatever. We're going to be going down soon. Princess is coming up soon. So looking forward to that. So,
are you guys going to make me fly down for Princess?
Hey, we booked this. Apparently, we got that Illuminations thing at Rose and Crown the night before the half marathon. That's going to be fun. Hey, who needs sleep?
All you can drink.
Oh, God. That's all I needed to hear.
That's what Mike needs. All you can drink.
Yeah. And I'm in the back corral, too. So I also have a lot of people to pick off, I guess. That's the way I got to look at it. Anyway, let's get to the questions. That's why you're here. We're all going to hang in there. We're going to make it. It's not going to be that bad. All right. First question is from Robin. She says,
We will rebuild.
Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. She says, the title of the email is, we want to swim at Stormalong Bay on our checkout day. We are planning a sort of split stay in April. My question is, on our checkout day at the beach club, can we continue to use the pool all day? Or will they sort of cut us off at checkout time? If we have a day bag and change to go to the World Showcase for a few hours, can we go back to the pool? Hope that question makes sense. Thank you all for bringing such varying, honest views of the place that has my heart. Robin. All right, Pam, so we've done this before, so give her the good news on this one.
It is. It's great, Robin, because you can use Stormalong Bay not just until checkout time. It's not like it's 11 o'clock and they're like, you gotta go. You can use it all through your checkout day. So that's awesome. And it is great news. And it's great for you to be planning ahead. Bring that bag that has the stuff in it that you'll need to change into and whatnot. And you'll be in good shape. It's a great way to spend the last day, actually.
Oh, man. It's the best way. Best way. And the weather should be great then, too. Good swimming weather. All right. Next question is from Chris. As Mets fans, first trip. Hey, Pam, Ricky, and Mike. I discovered BOGP a year and a half ago and now enjoy listening to you guys 3 days a week. I've been taking notes. Catchy baseball subject line. Check. We're planning on taking... See, he knew that if you put a cool, you know, title for your email, it gets to the top of the queue.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So we plan on taking our baby boy to the world for the first time from February 14th to the 22nd, 2020, a few weeks before he turns three. Well done. We're planning on staying at the Poly. We're focused on his experience primarily, rope drop, long nap breaks, days off, a few character meals, and at least 2 days at the Magic Kingdom. Here are my questions. Number one, he's a huge Mickey Mouse fan. I'm considering making a 9 a.m. fast pass on day one, so his very first experience at Disney World is meeting Mickey. Is this a smart use of the fast pass, or is there a better way to do it? I'm concerned about missing a bunch of rides in Fantasyland because we're on Main Street. Okay, so he has got four questions. Let's stop there. Okay, I think that's a great idea because a fast pass is best used just on an experience you want to have. And this sounds like exactly kind of the goal of the trip. However, an alternate thing for this would be to make, you're at the Polynesian. Well, it sounds like you're trying to be at the Polynesian. You could also do a character breakfast with Lilo and Stitch right there at Ohana, which Mickey Mouse is there as well. Not two birds with one stone. But either way, I think you're fine. Because you're going to be there long enough, you'll get to do the Fantasyland rides, is what I say. So let me get the second one. Since the fast pass is really for him, but he's under three, is there any special way to make this fast pass or just make it for us and bring him along? Ricky talked to that about when you're scheduling fast passes and you have kids that are below three and they're not on the reservation because, well, they're on the reservation, they just don't have tickets, they don't make fast passes. Walk them through that.
Yeah, so basically, since the child doesn't have the ability, you know, they don't have park tickets, you can't really make a fast pass for them. So you just make fast passes for everybody else in the group, and then you bring along said child with you, and they'll let you through the line. It's not a big problem.
And, you know, another good point, too, on that first point is Carolyn saying, no fast passes, just go right away. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, everybody's going to be rushing past. You're right. You probably don't even need a fast pass. If you go rope drop, that's good. That's a really good point. So I love our chat room. Thank you, guys. Love you guys being here when we record live. That's makes it awesome. Number three, I think we'll be there for the tail end of the Festival of the Arts. Is there much appeal for a three-year-old at Festival of the Arts? Ricky, what do you think? You just got back. We're going to talk about that on Friday.
So I feel like Festival of the Arts is definitely more of an adult experience, just because it's a lot of art. And there are some things for kids. There's like chalk art drawing that they can do. They have like spots where kids can draw on the sidewalk. They also have like, you know, some kind of artsy, like they're like statues, living statues that, you know, the kids can like get pictures with, but it's really just not a lot of like super, it's not focused on children, this festival, I feel like. You could do the figment brush, you know, the fine figment thing around Epcot too, if you want to do that. But, you know, again, I just don't feel like it's a very kid-centric festival. That's just me. I don't know. Pam, you've been. What do you think?
I mean, I think that the photos are cute and the different food booths. I think lots of kids love the different food booths. I don't know what Mike's doing there, but
I don't either.
I'm being a living statue. Just I'm practicing.
Oh, is that what that was?
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
So I think sometimes kids, there are certain things that will appeal to little kids when you're walking through the food booths, but there's, you know, a lot of things at this festival in particular that I don't think really, you know, draw kids in, but there's always little snacks and things like that that they can do. I think that they may find some of the art stuff interesting, and who doesn't want one of those Pop-Tarts?
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
for real.
Right? I mean, that has little kid and big kid written all over it. So I think that there are definitely some things to see. And some kids really respond to Epcot and World Showcase in particular. You know, they love that part about Disney World. I think it's worth a shot just to see whether it's like.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying don't go, but I'm just saying I don't know that there's a lot for a child to do that's with it. But, you know, like you said, Pam, you never know what's going to be
that's
their
right.
favorite thing that they're going to, you know, latch onto. So it could very well be something from Festival of the Arts that I'm just not thinking about.
Yeah, it absolutely. When Hannah was really little, I remember we took her on Spaceship Earth, and that was the thing that she would talk about again and again to other people. Like when we got home, and then when we'd go back again, she's like, "Today we're going to learn about communication. Like we're at Spaceship Earth," and I was like, "What?
Oh,
I mean, what a weird thing for little kids to like latch onto." But she was like,
"Exactly,
we're gonna learn about communication." I'm like, "Yes, we are.
Yes,
here
we
at
are.
Spaceship Earth."
It's always that way. And shout out to George, who's up in Chicago. His plane's getting de-iced watching the show, and he appreciates my visual humor. So, you know, it kind of goes along. It's like this live show can be a mini Festival of the Arts for you right here. All right, and his last question, Chris's last question. I think there may be a Run Disney event during our stay. He says Princess, maybe. How will that impact our experience? It looks like he'll probably get out of there before Princess if it's the 14th to the 22nd, or it'd be right on the tail end looking at the schedule. The only thing that, you know, the runners typically go to, well, I just said that we're doing that Illumination thing. We'll be out late the night before the half marathon, but the smart runners will be in bed and out of the parks usually by 6 o'clock the night before the races. But you do have to watch for traffic flows as far as like in the mornings, because sometimes they'll close off the roads. And the Princess half marathon runs from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom back to Epcot. So World Drive kind of gets to be a slight mess, but you'll be fine. You're going to be there a long time. That one, you know, it might take you, you know, an extra 15 minutes to get to the park. And he closes out by saying, "I really appreciate all the joy you bring to the podcast. My dad took us to Disney World for Christmas every year since I was 3. This will be my first big trip back to the world since we lost my dad 15 years ago. Listening to you guys has helped put me back in the frame of mind where I'm really looking forward to taking my baby boy. Thank you so much for all your help and for the weekly dose of magic." So that's very kind of Chris to say. Appreciate that.
That is.
All right, let's get to the next question from Vernon. He's out in Phoenix, Arizona. We're kind of jealous of you, Vernon. I bet you it's not going to be 30 below wind chill for you. He says, "Hey, BOGP gang, I'm looking to book a room in mid-August, and I'm noticing that the Grandestino Tower is offering club level. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this will be the first moderate resort with club level amenities. My question is, do you know if they'll offer the same amenities as the club level at deluxe resorts? For example, purchasing fast passes, 90-day fast pass plus window, etc. Thank you so much for bringing so much enjoyment into my life, Vernon in Phoenix." So, Pam, what are you, because I think that is true. I mean, this is the first club level moderate resort. What are we hearing about the club level amenities over in the Grandestino Tower?
Well, I can tell you one girl who has a reservation at club level on the days that it opens. So I wanted to be there experiencing it for everyone as soon as it happens so that we would have that. So supposedly there is going to be basically the same level of service. I've not heard anything other than it's going to be the same level of service, although they have not specifically addressed all of these things. I'm assuming that they're going to have access to be able to purchase the other FastPass options. And as you all know, that's something you have to pay to do. You need to do that for a minimum of 3 nights in order to be able to purchase those. So keep that in mind if you want to do that. And while the Coronado is, you know, a moderate hotel, it is always catered to business, you know, and conventions and things like that. They just have a lot of it because they have a convention center. The other thing is Coronado's had a business class level of service there at different times. Sometimes they called it club service. Sometimes they called it business class service. I mean, it was always a little different than the other concierge services, but I have a feeling that this one's going to be more in line with the traditional Disney concierge or club level services. And I've stayed at all of them at the different hotels at different times. They've tend to sort of standardize them a little bit in terms of when they offer food. That's pretty standard. The foods that they offer, there are some that have a little more, I think, originality in that space than others, but I think they're all great experiences. And if you're looking to celebrate something or just want a little extra service, the concierge level of service is something that you may want to consider. It may surprise you that it's not as expensive as you think. So
that just reminded me, because our last few trips to Coronado before they knocked over the building was at the like 9B, that one that was, what was it considered, business class rooms with that little,
right?
They had that little lounge within the building. That was like the biggest steal. Yeah. It was like $10 more a night. And like I ate like $50 worth of cookies a day because they had warm cookies and drinks. Oh, I love that little room. And then it knocked it over. Oh,
I know. It was really kind of a cool thing. And I think that's the cool thing. That's why we're doing the Epcot Illuminations dinner, because when Disney releases something at first, it seems like the price is a little lower. And that was sort of the case with Coronado. That price is a little lower. So you got to jump on that while you can. You know, when you compare the price of that Rose and Crown dinner to even the price of like a dessert party, we're not far off. And you get dinner at the Rose and Crown thing where you do, you know, at the dessert party. So anyways, that's one of the reasons why, you know, we were looking to experience that. If you see a Disney bargain, jump on it.
Absolutely. Seriously. I remember when they had those e-ticket nights way back, like in the probably early 2000s, for like $6. It's like what the after hours event is without the snacks, which is, you know, like $100 now. So yeah, that was good old days. All right, let's get some questions from the live chat. Jillian had a question. What extra ticket events can happen in mid to late August? Can after hour events normally happen the same week as Mickey's Not So Scary? I would say no, but Ricky, this is up your alley.
I don't think that they had the after hours events in the months of Mickey's Not So Scary and Mickey's Very Merry. Maybe Very Merry, but I definitely don't think that they had them during Not So Scary months. So I think they stopped them in about August, and then they don't have them again until maybe December. So now they may have some at Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom, though, because those two parks just added the extra, the after hours events. So you may not get them at the Magic Kingdom, but you might be able to take advantage of them at the other two parks. And probably Epcot eventually, because I'm sure they will roll it out to Epcot at some point, because why not?
Why not? And, you know, that holds crowds better than any park. You know, that'd make a lot of sense to do it there. And it closes early most nights.
Yeah.
James is also watching from the Polynesian right now, and he's about to go to dinner at California Grill, fam. So there you go. James is winning.
Nice. Wow. Totally jealous.
Have a good meal. What should he get? Real quick, give him 5 seconds. What do you order?
They change their menu based on the seasonal thing, but I can tell you they always have some kind of pork dish. It's served with this fantastic polenta. They tweak it every time, but it's fantastic and just really, really so good. They always have a great fish. Their sushi is awesome. there's usually have a salad that when you're reading it, you're like, oh my gosh, that sounds so interesting. I want to have it. And it's based on seasonal ingredients. So I don't think you can go wrong with anything there, really and truly. You'll have a great time.
All righty. TJ in the chat says, my question is about an attraction in Hollywood Studios. I never really hear podcasts talk about this, but I'm curious. We see Hollywood Studios transforming before our eyes, and we're losing all the classic attractions. My favorite show at Walt Disney World is Voyage of the Little Mermaid. I do love that show myself, too. I don't know it is. It's a time. It's like Captain EO, kind of, to me. It's a time capsule.
It is.
Let's see. Do you think the show is going to last through all the changes to eat people up with the Star Wars land, or do you think the classic era is coming to an end with Voyage, Jones, Beauty, and the Beast? Ricky, where do you fall on this? It is. It's a time capsule. I mean, it's not like I... But crowds love it. I heard another show, I can't remember, Len's show or somebody talking about how even in 2018, when I was there, 2019, I was there for Marathon Weekend. I think I went in and saw it. Like, at the end of the show, people cheer, you know, and it's because there are live performers and it's cheesy live performers. I'll give you that.
Oh, it's
and
cheesy.
There's lasers. Yes. I mean, there's totally like lasers from 1987,
yes.
Like the planetarium show. But it's, I don't know, it has the magic sauce. I mean, is this thing going to last or is it going to go away like Beauty and the Beast and stuff?
Gosh, you know, I really don't know. I think that its days are maybe numbered, but I think that for now, as long the park is just going to need capacity. So I think for now, it's going to be sticking around a little bit longer. You know, maybe not in 5 years. Maybe they'll start doing something in about 5 years. But I think that, you know, just like you said, it's so kitschy and dated at this point that it's coming back around again. I don't know, but I just feel like. I feel like it's probably got its days numbered. But that being said, it's still got a little bit of life left to it, too. You know, so they're not taking it down anytime soon with Star Wars Land, though. It's not happening.
No, I don't think it'll happen anytime soon. But I would say in the next 5 years, it's probably a goner. Just because it's like in prime, it's in a prime corner.
Well, yeah, not only that, but I see, you know, because you've got the Star Wars launch bay there. So I see them just maybe taking that whole area and redoing that whole animation courtyard area at some point. Although they did just update the Disney Junior thing, but in 5 years, I'm sure they'll be ready to update it again. Let's just be honest. Yeah. they just keep cranking out new characters for Disney Junior. So,
Payne, what do you think? What's the lifespan on Little Mermaid over at the studios? I think you like it too. I mean, especially the last scene.
I do. And you know, the thing I like about it most, and I think about this every time I'm there, when they first start it and the water is there and they have you go, the crowd always goes, you know, they all like that. And I love anything at Disney that makes the crowd go like that. But I think, you know, we're in an era of seeing Disney try to bring Hollywood Studios closer to more people. I think that the theme that it was, while it was classic to some of us, it just really didn't resonate with a large group of people out there. They're, you know, they don't have those memories, the same kind of memories of the movies or even the attractions that were there at Hollywood Studios. So Disney was really in a position where they had to reimagine it. I'm sure that they looked at, you know, the number of people who visited that park and saw that the numbers were declining, but they're readdressing that. And I love that they kept Grauman's Theater. We're going to see a new attraction in that theater, which I think is something that so many more people will appreciate. And I think it's like Walt said, we keep moving forward. You have to keep moving forward. If it would have stuck with its original, you know, the original filming of Home Improvement and other things in the backlog.
I still want my Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Right.
I never saw that. And I would have loved to have been in that show where you nail the things and the thing comes down. That would have been sweet.
It was really cool. It sounds dangerous. But the thing is, with things like that, what was happening is you were, if you did go to it, you were one of what? 10-20 people in the audience. I mean, the audience kept shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And I know that so many of us have fond memories of it, but I also really trust what Disney's doing. I think they're on the right track, and I am beyond excited about Galaxy's Edge. I mean, I just can't even begin. And I think everyone is, Star Wars fan or not. I think there's so many things that people love about the Disney films that maybe we will see Little Mermaid reimagined, but it could be something reimagined as something spectacular. So
I'm just saying, if they want to bring back Mickey Mouse Club and have Justin Timberlake dancing around again, I'm more than okay with it.
So in the chat, because we're having a conversation here in the chat, which I love. Again, if you want to drop by with some great Disney fans, it's usually around 5:30 Eastern on Mondays when we record live. Caroline's saying she was kind of underwhelmed with the new storybook character dining at Artist Point, but then other folks are backing it up. And Ricky, I've been only hearing good things about this. Now, I think it kind of depends on your background. I haven't been to this yet. I also had never been to Artist Point. And I know that Artist Point had a small kind of following, but the people who liked Artist Point, like I'm thinking Pam, really liked Artist Point. So seeing that get transformed, I think it kind of depends on your point of view. But let me ask both of you. First, Ricky, following stuff on social media, I think it has been a positive change for the majority of people, majority of Disney fans.
I think it has been. I think that, like, so for someone like me, I would like to see a few tweaks before I actually go dine there. One of the things that I think is kind of a downer is their dessert selection. If I'm paying all that money for a meal, then you're just making me eat the three desserts that I may or may not like. I don't really love that when I'm, you know, like, I'm paying for that. So if I'm not eating one of the desserts because I don't want gooseberry pie, which I think is one of the desserts that they have, like, I feel like I'm wasting my money in a way. So I would really like to see them kind of adjust some of that part of the menu so that maybe you get a choice of what dessert you get. But other than that, like, I've heard that the food is fantastic. The options that they have for the entrees, I hear are really, really good. I hear the character interaction is really fun. And of course, this is one of the places that you can meet the Evil Queen, which is, again, just something that people lose their minds over. So I can totally understand how that would be a really good thing. So again, I want to try it. I hope that they'll make a few tweaks as they move forward with it, as far as, like, you know, the dessert, the menu is concerned. And then I would like to try it, give it a try. I don't like when they go that route of this is the only options you get for either appetizer or desserts, because so often there may be something on there that I'm not liking and I'm paying for.
Good point. So Pam, what's your perspective? Because again, this is one of the places I know that you really enjoyed.
Well, so I did really enjoy Artist Point. I think we always had really great service there. I will say the one thing that we did encounter was at different times there was inconsistencies in the quality of food that came out of that kitchen. And I don't know what to attribute that to, because sometimes it was great and other times it was just not as good. When Disney wants to change anything, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be okay with me, because I know that they have some bigger picture in mind. I'm not privy to all the, information that goes into each one of their decisions.
And I'm
okay with that, believe it or not. So that's a lot to think about all the time. But I thought this was really interesting because the character interaction is really something that people were looking for. And I think that they were looking for a better meal with character interactions. There are a lot of people who crave those character meals but aren't particularly fond of an all-you-care-to-eat establishment or a buffet or things like this. So this is really needed. And the fact that they were going to bring in some of the most beloved characters with Snow White and some dwarves and some villains like the Evil Queen, I think was really cool to do that. So I love that. And to Ricky's point, I think, Ricky, on the appetizers, they bring you a little taste of each. But if you wanted more of another one, I believe you could ask for it. So maybe then you wouldn't feel as if you were really missing out on something. That these are the choices. And then if there was one that you particularly like, you could be like, hey, can I have some more of this one?
So anyway. And if that was the case, that would be great. But I haven't heard that. So I would be all open to that. So if anybody knows that for sure, please let me know. I would be all in for trying it sooner rather than later.
All righty. And also shout out to Michelle in the chat. She is at the Tambu Lounge right now having a drink. So while she's watching. So again, people are living a better life than we are. So she's picking up her, she says it's her boy's last work shift on the Disney College program after a full year. So make sure you thank him for us for making the magic and enjoy that last date. So that's pretty sweet. All right, Jeff's got a question in the chat. He says, I've never been to Illuminations. What? We are staying at Beach Club, club level in July. Knowing that it is ending this summer, are the boat cruises outside the resort a good way to view it for our first time and only time? Or is there some better recommendations? It'd be myself, my wife, and 12-year-old daughter. I've done the Illuminations cruise probably two or three times. I love it. I think it is a VIP experience all the way. I don't think it's, you know, extremely outrageous on the pricing. You get some little snacks on the boat. It's an awesome way to see Illuminations. I love it. But Pam, we're doing that thing at Rose and Crown, which I don't know a whole lot about. So maybe give him that option as well. What's that all about?
So, yes. And I agree with Mike. I think that the boat is just really a VIP experience. You know, I think it's something that you're absolutely going to want to consider, but they do have a new Rose and Crown, Illuminations dinner experience. And I think this was, of course, rolled out to let people really.
Uh-oh, we just lost Pam.
Oh no,
we'll get her back. Here she comes. Watch us. Stand by, everybody. This is live broadcasting. Watch us. We got to tell her. And we're going to keep this in the show. Pam, we lost you for a second, so go ahead. You said it was brought out because people are trying to get that last taste of Illuminations, I think. It's just a new way to see it. So I don't know what happened.
That's exactly it's,
blame what it on the cold. It was Frozone is what it was.
That's exactly what they're going to do. So, and Rose and Crown has a spectacular view of Illuminations from the back patio. It's sort of, you know, there's a bird and then a bottom level that has some umbrellas. So the thing is, it's a prefix menu, and it has three courses. Again, you're going to be given some of the appetizers that are popular with everyone, and then you get to choose your entree, and then I believe you have a selection of desserts. They also include alcoholic beverages with this, and they have a signature beverage as well as other beverages as well. Of course, Rose and Crown, famous for the different beers and beer pub blends that they offer. I believe those are included as well. So that's a cool thing as well. They're going to have the dinner choices that everyone loves, like the fish and chips and the corned beef and cabbage and some salmon and bangers and mash and things like that. I also want to point out, going back to the appetizers, they have two of my favorite, right? The Scotch egg.
Oh, I love the Scotch egg. I had that on that tour. I'm gonna be tearing that
so
up.
So good. And they have the cheese platter, which is another one of my famous things. I have gone to Rose and Crown many a time for a beer in the cheese platter, I will say.
Nice.
Done that as, you know, a meal often. So they're both really good. And then they give you a selection. They call it a pudding trio platter, which has some of their, and don't think pudding like Jell-O, my friends. Think of something better. Think of the sticky toffee pudding and an English trifle. And there's another one too. I believe it's chocolate. So that's something. And kids have lots of things that they can choose from too. So the beauty of this is, though, that you know that you're going to have a fantastic view of Illuminations. And I don't want to talk this up too much because I want to be able to do it again.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I have one question. Do you think that the English trifle will have beef sautéed with peas and onions?
I hope not, my friends, fans.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a friends reference, but yes. So anyways, but yeah, I think it's going to be a great option. And who doesn't want some fish and chips with a beer? I'm just saying, this is a good meal.
Oh, so, I can't wait.
No, so it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a fun thing. And I think, you know, when Disney first started releasing these specialty dinners and dessert parties and things like that, they got some criticism because people are like, well, it's just, you know, an added thing that you have to pay for, and it's just whatever. And we're all like, yes, that is what it is. But we hear such positive responses to most of these things that I think they're worth doing. You're going on vacation, and of course it's going to be special and spectacular and everything else, but it's these little things, I think, that if you have the opportunity to do one of them every now and then, it really makes some memories. They're very impactful, and Disney does a good job at it most of the time. So
the more you talk about this, the more I'm okay with being swept in the Princess Half Marathon, if it means
We'll pick you up with the car in a certain location.
I don't like the balloon ladies, but I mean, it sounds like it would be a fine trade-off. So I'm just saying, I may not get that pink medal, but you know, in the end, it's all about eliminations and scotch eggs. So there you go. All right, we're gonna try to squeeze in two more questions before we get out of here, real quick from the chat. Lucas has a question about ADR parking. They say, if we have an ADR at a resort and drive there, how long can we leave our car parked at the resort? For example, could we go to our ADR at Beach Club and then walk over to Epcot for half of the day? I say insert meme of car with boot on it at this point. But in practicality, once you go in, they don't really know where your car is. You could be towed. I'm just saying that, though. The rule says 3 hours.
Yeah, the rule says, yeah. They do have a rule about that, and that's not what it is. In fact, when you drive into all the Epcot resorts, it says that it's not theme park parking. What you may want to do, though, Lucas, and I think this will be much easier, is just park in the front of Epcot. Start your day there. Start your day in Epcot. Park in the front of Epcot. Go out through the International Gateway to go do your ADR and then come back. Then you don't have to worry about your car or breaking a rule or whatever. We are rule followers,
yes, me
for
too.
The most part. So we can't help it, but you know, that's how it is.
All day I'm like sweating. Like, is my car being, like, in 3 hours and 1 minute, I'm like, man, is my car being towed? Like, I'm the person who, if it's going to happen, it will happen to me. Like, that is just, that's kind of a general of my life. Like, you know, there are 982 other cars that are parked illegally, but they're going to find mine. And my Jeep will be in the impound somewhere. So, all right, last question of the day. We're going back to the inbox from Nicholas. And he says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, going to Disney World the first week of March. Hoping crowds aren't too bad. Anyway, we're going with a baby, and we're only going to the two parks, Magic Kingdom and Epcot. We're big foodies, but this was a bit of a last-minute trip. We were able to snag ADRs at the following: Liberty Tree Tavern and Skipper Canteen for Magic Kingdom, Le Cellier and Via Napoli for Epcot. We also got Morimoto Asia and Sanaa for our off-park days. Do you think these were good choices? Anything you would change? Thanks, guys. Love listening to you. Thanks, Nick. I think you hit the jackpot. I think you're doing great.
No,
anything you would change, Ricky? I mean, they got Liberty Tree, Skipper Canteen, Magic Kingdom, Le Cellier, Via Napoli at Epcot, Morimoto's, and Sanaa for their non-park days.
No, those sound fantastic. Yeah,
those are all like A-list, bam, good ones.
Writing choices, not gonna lie.
I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, you know, the only other thing you could try, I mean, because last minute, so it sounds like the only thing with Magic Kingdom is maybe swap out like a Skipper Canteen for a BR Guest, but I mean, that's a challenge last minute, so I think you're fine.
Right. Yeah.
Pam,
I mean,
thoughts?
You could try even up to the day of to see if you could get BR Guest, but I mean, other than that, you're good.
I think he's solid. Yeah. What do you think, Pam?
Yeah, I think so, too. I will say Skipper Canteen is not always my favorite. I think the food, I don't know. I love the atmosphere. I love the idea of it. And we've had great service there. I think that, you know what, go in with, look at the menus and know what you want to order. And that,
yeah,
I think
that's good advice.
It's, you know, it just... there's just something missing in it, and I can't put my finger on what it is, but I think for being able to be in the Magic Kingdom to have a table, a sit down restaurant, I think that it's just, you know, it's a great choice because it's fun to sit down, I think, and relax and get waited on at different times, especially at the Magic Kingdom after you walk through Fantasyland. Like at that point, every time I think about a place that needs to have alcohol served in it, Fantasyland comes to mind.
Why?
It's like Calgon, take me away, but you know, for adults.
It totally is. But go and enjoy. I think Skipper Canteen is one of those places that it's really fun to go to, even if the food hasn't been that great. I think my main complaint with it is that the menu promises something that they just can't deliver. Yeah, in terms of the creativity of food. But I keep hoping that they'll get there.
And the chat room saying these are great. You have a great palette of dining reservations. They're agreeing. You're solid there. People are debating Skipper's Canteen. Some people are saying that it tries too hard to be adventurous or tries too hard to be, like, the food's kind of the secondary thing. They're trying to be like, wisecrackers first with the names of the stuff, and they're trying to build a menu around that, I think. But, you know, I think it's try it once. See what you think. Some people love it. Some people don't. But there you go.
Right.
Real quick. Okay, off topic. The Heinz Ketchup Caviar. Are you guys entering the contest on Twitter to try to win that? Have you seen that yet?
What?
Nope. Heinz. Well, you should know, Pam. You're from Pittsburgh. I mean, that's like the Heinz company. They're doing caviar for Valentine's Day, and there's like a Twitter contest. You just have to hashtag Heinz ketchup caviar and like sweeps, and you can win some caviar.
So they're like little bubbles
I don't know if they're ketchup. I guess they're fish. Like, it's caviar, right?
No, I'm sure. I don't think. Really?
Well, I'm just saying. One of us needs to win. And that'd be good.
And what
show.
Do you win if you win?
There's 150 Heinz ketchup caviar packets or, I don't know, like winners. What? I don't know what you get. I saw it on the news while we were recording here. You were talking.
Apparently,
I had the TV
we need
on
to
behind
watch the news.
Me. I know. I shouldn't have had it on. Anyway, back.
Right? Uh-huh.
Our listeners can tell us.
All right. Yeah. Mike's watching the news and not listening to us.
I look over. No, I'm trying to see. Because every time I look at the TV, the wind chill goes down by like 5 degrees. So I was checking. But it was between weather. So anyway. Time to get out of here. So, Ricky, we're going to talk about virtualmickey.com. One of our great apps is Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app. Free. Did I say free? Free iOS app. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device. Ricky, what are we reading about right now?
It's free. So, first of things first, we are reading about the fact that Maleficent
has
returned.
You know what? Maleficent is hot.
She is hot. So, yeah, I think that's really the big story is that Maleficent has returned to the Magic Kingdom's Festival of Fantasy Parade, and she still features her steampunk style. She's sporting a refreshed look. I should hope so. Her last look was a little charred. And she's got enhanced new safety features. Again, I should hope so. The last ones didn't work out so well. So the parade float was damaged back in May 2018 due to her catching on fire. So... fire! She was a little hot that day.
Smoking, as Jim Carrey would say.
Yes. So anyway, she's back now. She does not breathe as much fire as she once did, which, again, I mean, rightfully so. I know a lot of people are disappointed, but I would rather her breathe some fire than no fire, which was what I was worried, was they were just going to bring her back and she wasn't going to breathe anything. So at least I'm glad she's breathing a little bit.
Does she breathe fire or does she belch fire? What would you say?
Breathes. I would say breathes.
Okay.
That's just me.
That could be the next debate.
But I'm a lady.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I was thinking that could be the new blue dress, gold dress kind of thing. You know, does she breathe or belch?
It could be, yes.
All right, let's get out of here. So, yeah, check that great app, Theme Park News Disney Edition, free for your iOS devices over at virtualmickey.com. Again, support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. You know it, and you're going to need layers, so buy them right now over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. We've got an awesome Facebook group where you can come in on Mondays and be a wisecracker just like Joanne at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, it's time to get out of here. We're going to be back again on Friday. Ricky's going to talk about a soggy, chilly weekend down at Walt Disney World. We're going to debate one of her tweets she had over the weekend because it was genius and it was correct. And we're going to talk about that on Friday. So we hope you'll join us for that. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.